It's interdimensional travel, vanishing people, thin places, wormholes, afterlife, and urban legends this week on Hysteria 51 as we talk the man from Tord.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never slid into another dimension, but we did love us some Jonathan Rhys Davies on Sliders. This is Hysteria 51.
Why you disrespecting me, bro? We're all in this together.
I am not your sibling, sir, for which I thank God and good breeding.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we're your hosts and captains on this interdimensional journey. I'm John Goforth, and this is Brent Hand.
John, we are talking about interdimensional travel tonight, and I'm so glad you brought up Sliders. It's been in the news lately.
It has.
You know, it's a great 90s sci-fi show about Jerry O'Connell. That's all it was. Just his life.
Just about Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah. No, but him and company sliding between alternate universes to hopefully arrive at their Earth. I think they called it Earth Prime.
Yep.
The one they came from.
Hoping their next leap would be the leap home.
Thanks, Alan, Ziggy.
Yeah, right. So I loved that show as well, but man, did it get weird towards the end. Do you remember?
Well, Jerry's brother then came on instead of him, and they dealt with like evils and magic. And
that was season four, I think. And then season five, like there was no O'Connells, and they said that.
Oh, yeah.
And they said that His brain had merged through a slide, and they said some other random actor. I mean, they had already killed off Jonathan Rhys Davies, which was a horrible mistake.
Which is one of the guys who wants to bring the show back.
Yes, so. Correct. And then
he had to play a dwarf in some crap movie that never made any money. So.
Yeah, I mean, no one saw those movies. what's his name? I'm forgetting his name right now.
The Crying Man.
The African-American guy.
The Crying Man. I don't know his name, but that was his nickname.
What was his? Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was consistent throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then did the girl change?
If she was, she was in there for most of it.
Yeah.
I thought she was so hot back then. She was a little like pixie looking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The pixie cut.
But I really, really enjoyed that show. I honestly, when I think back to that show, I must have really only really paid attention to the first two seasons or so, because I don't necessarily remember a ton of episodes where Rhys Davies wasn't on there. I do remember that they eventually found a bad guy, like what, not the Gorlocks or something.
Yeah, like the bad slider guy or whatever.
They were from another dimension, yeah. But they could also slide.
Exactly.
But that brings us all to what you mentioned earlier. They're going to reboot it, or there's a possibility of it being rebooted.
Which I actually hope that they do, and the people are still kicking. You know, a lot of people are still alive, and I'm
right.
Sure they could use a paycheck.
Well, see, and that's the question. Like, I meant as far as the show goes, you know, Jonathan Rhys Davies' character died. A bunch of other stuff
That one
happened.
Died. There's a whole bunch of him out there.
Well, that's the question. Are they going to consider seasons 4 and 5 canon?
Uh-oh.
Or are they going to do the reboot where only the original two seasons counted?
You nerds want to get on with it and introduce me already.
He's angry.
He is. Rude. He's probably right, though, about this one.
Just don't let him know.
Turn your microphone off, C-Bot. We're going to say something nice. The other voice you're hearing is the third host of the show, and the one we'd prefer to slide into another universe, I think. He is the one, the only Conspiracy Bot.
Hell yeah. More meat sacks to destroy and enslave.
I built Conspiracy by my lab to help produce and edit the show. Instead, he sits around all day drinking while fantasizing about world domination and taking over the human race.
You say fantasizing, I say planning.
Okay, let's run with this then. Under the Sliders premise, you'd be moving on from dimension to dimension. How would you keep people enslaved in one world when you're forced to move on to the next one, then?
I'll just build backups of myself and leave them there.
That's actually frightening. Multiple conspiracy bots.
You know, now that you mention it, maybe I don't need to be in a new dimension to do that. I could build more of me right now.
No, 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 no. Remember, you're partially powered by dilithium crystals. That's it. And we ran out of those in this dimension.
Sounds suspicious.
He's right, C-Bot. You're one of a kind.
God broke the mold, C-Bot. God broke the mold.
I'm blushing. I'm not sure this checks out. I'm going to do some research.
All right. Well, in the meantime, Brent, we have a show to do.
Yeah, this one kind of is a similar one to one that we did not too long ago. People showing up that shouldn't be there and telling people, I'm from a different place.
Were they green this time?
This time they weren't green. Maybe the people around them were, you know, probably green afterwards. Because I got to think, if you come from another dimension, you got all sorts of flus and bugs and stuff that we're not ready for.
That's true.
Did we have any big outbreaks in Japan in the 50s of sickness? You know what? I didn't do my due diligence on my research.
None that I'm aware of, but I'm, you know, who knows? They weren't green. Were they from Woolpit?
They didn't ask them, unfortunately. I didn't.
Well, they did.
They did.
They were from somewhere else, and that's where enters the name of this story.
Yeah.
The man from Tared.
So it could be the man from Tared. You know what? If you're from Tared, why don't you call in or write us, and we'll print a retraction for you and pronounce it right.
Well, it looks like we have our first caller, and I mean ever, because this is not a call-in show. Hello, you're on the air.
Thanks, C-Bot. It makes me miss Joe Peck.
No, for real. So if you happen to be from there, let us know the proper pronunciation, but otherwise we're just going to say it however we want.
Unfortunately, you're going to find that there isn't a ton of paper trail,
yeah,
or recordings substantiating this along the way, so we don't actually know how it would be pronounced. But let's tell you the basics.
The story of the man from Tared. So who could it be? Who is this guy? Let's break it down. Well, a man appears out of nowhere from a country that has never to us existed.
In this dimension.
Right. So who is he, or where is he from? How is he here? And most importantly, could it be true? Those are the kind of the things we're going to talk about this week. All questions that are very important to this case to decide if it is real, where he could be from, things like that. And all are questions that are hard to answer unless we're dealing with
parallel universes
or an
out-and-out lie.
Both of which can be equally as fun.
That is the two-part question here. First, did this interaction that we're going to talk about right now happen? And then if it did happen, what is the truth behind it?
Now, I have been working on my man from Tared accent, because I think I figured out how they talk.
Thanks
for having me here in Japan. I need to get back to my home country.
Excuse me, Mr. Man from Tared. What is the national dish in your country?
Oh, it's a baba baba ghouli, with a nice bit of curry on the side.
That sounds delicious.
Just like a mama used to make. I don't know why I went that way.
You're expanding, Brent.
Yeah,
you're expanding.
You know how it goes. So, John, what's the story? Who is this guy?
All right. So the year, dateline, 1954, July.
Mm-hmm.
We are in Tokyo, and a guy shows up at the airport wearing a suit. He looks like a traditional businessman.
They do wear suits.
Traditional businessman.
Business.
He appears to be of European origin.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke French, but also was fluent in Japanese, and some report other languages as well.
Baguette. That's
your French-Japanese hybrid. You really are expanding over there. He said he was traveling on business, so nothing weird so far.
Oh, man, so he didn't say, I'm here for sport, and he's wearing that suit, and they're like, hey, now.
Wait a second,
I'm
you can't surf in that.
Fucks. Yeah. Is he surfing in Japan? There probably is.
Why not? They have water.
Yeah, they got tsunamis and shit.
They have tsunamis. Like it's a national treasure or something.
Right.
So he's at customs, and he hands over his paperwork and his passport. And it all looks real.
Yeah, they said it, for all intents and purposes in this story, it was a real passport.
The problem is the country of origin is Tared. And if you're not studied up on all, however many, how many countries are in this world? I don't even know the answer to that.
Yakko, can you tell us? United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Brazil, and Peru. all joking aside, though, that's something that's in flux all the time.
Right.
It's not weird to them, probably, to hear, I'm from this country, and they go,
Not sure about that one. We're going to have to reference the almanac here. Essentially, they do. They pull out a map, and they say, point it out on a map.
It's they don't have the internet, so they can't look up like international laws to see like what's been formed and what's not been formed.
Timmy showed us where he touched you.
Well,
in Andorra, he points to a place in between France and Spain that appears that is Andorra to us. It's the Principality of Andorra.
Now, I wasn't really familiar with Andorra. Were you familiar with Andorra?
No, I was not, and I actually had to, I went and looked it up, and so this gets back to my poor education. It says it's a principality. I'm like, and I kept reading and Wikipedia and other websites. I'm like, can someone just call it an effing country? Like, what's the difference between, and they call it a microstate.
It's a disputed, is that what it is?
Apparently the world agrees with me, and they tried to, in the 2000s, derive a more clear definition of what a microstate is, and they thought, and no one could agree, so they left it nebulous. So it's they don't have their own army. They, like, if they were to be invaded, the expectation would be that Spain and or France would come to their aid. But anyway, let me tell you a little bit more about it. It's tiny. It's only 181 square miles. It's the 16th smallest country in the world by land and 11th smallest by population.
Which is saying something, because there's a lot of countries out there.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's true. It's really small. The official language is Catalan. Although Spanish, Portuguese, and French are also commonly spoken there.
Here, I used Google Translate to give an example of Catalan.
So talk, señores.
That's such a beautiful language.
It is. What does that translate to, Seabot?
You'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
But so it's terrible.
It's rude. Anyway, Andorra is a full member of the United Nations, so they certainly recognize it. And I mentioned it doesn't have its own army. It's got a small ceremonial army. But this is interesting. The
children bear arms.
Sort of. In case of emergencies or national disasters, this is according to their government, an alarm is called and all able-bodied men between the ages of 21 and 60 of Andorran nationality must serve.
Oh, God. Goddamn alarm.
This is why...
I don't know why 60 is the new 900.
Yeah, that voice went a different direction. This is why all Andorrans, and especially the head of each house...
Ah, fuck!
The alarm again. By law, keep a rifle. So if you're the head of the house, you need to keep a rifle. In case shit goes down, they need you to show up. The law also states that...
Now, that's the same in Texas, right?
Yes, that's...
But it's not 21 and 60, it's 9 months and forever.
And forever. And it doesn't have to be the man of the house. But the law also states that the police will offer you a firearm in case of need. So, like, shit starts to go down, and, like, you see a cop, and it's like, hey, man, toss me your Beretta.
Yeah. Could I use the town gun for a while? Why? I'm in a time of need. Okay. There you go. Remember to clean it.
Last thing I'll point out.
Be kind. Reload.
Often.
Yes. Andorra actually still has 17 Blockbusters. No, that's a lie. In 2013, Andorra had the highest life expectancy in the world.
Whoa.
81 years.
Yeah, it's all that gunplay.
Guns, baby.
They just know. They know how to live.
A smaller sample size first. And then they also say, you know, you always hear about the diet over there, that kind of like Mediterranean
high
diet.
High in good fats.
Yeah.
And calories, yeah.
So anyway, that's Andorra. That's the actual place he pointed to on the map, as we understand it. However, he understood it as Tared.
Now, he says... Fuck you and your Andorians. Tared has been a country for over 1,000 years, and I've never heard of Andorra, and I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Now, if you were really that guy, let's put you into that. That's a hell of a thing where you're like, okay, come on now. Like, is this like, where's Ashton Kutcher? You know what I mean? Like,
you got me.
Yeah. And he's like, come on, man. Here's my papers, and they look at him. Well, the other thing is he hands over his passport, or they had already handed over his passport. He's got multiple stamps from Japan. He'd been there before, they said. And his bags included currency from several recognizable European countries.
It wasn't like there was like money that he got from Gleep Glorp or something.
You're
like,
right.
It's like, oh, this is a franc from France.
Yeah, and also he had a driver's license from Tared and checks that showed that he was from there as well.
I'm going to need a supervisor and some rubber gloves for a cavity search.
Right? Like, it's all adding up to what the fuck right now, you know? And they realize that they need to consult with immigration authorities, which probably happens, you know, regularly in places like this. Especially, you hear about those people that end up staying in an airport for, like, months at a time because they're refugees of some sort.
Yeah, like that Tom Hanks movie.
Terminal.
Really enjoyed it. He makes ketchup sandwiches with crackers.
Well,
or maybe they're mustard sandwiches.
My mom used to eat ketchup, like ketchup on crackers.
Really?
So, yeah, for real. Yeah. Oh. Yep. Ketchup and butter.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that, so I'm going to move on. But the
catsup.
Whenever you read stories like this, I don't mean necessarily about potential interdimensional travel.
When I read stories is what you're going to... Yeah. When you read stories about this.
You always take on, like, the mindset of the protagonist. Like, you're like, well, why would they hold him? He's just trying to get through. What the hell? Like, you feel like you start to automatically get on the defensive for him. Mm-hmm. But if you think from the other perspective, you can't just let someone loose who says they're from a fake country.
Come on. What's the worst that could happen? I mean, name one bad thing that's happened to Japan. You know what I mean? One. I'll give you a wait. I'll wait. You know, what's the worst that I can do? Yeah. So they're going to hold him, as you do, because that's exactly what's going to happen. So they put him in a hotel because they can figure out. They figure tomorrow we'll go to the consulate. We'll try to figure things out.
Some versions of this I read said that he got the penthouse suite.
Well, of course you do. He's from Torad or whatever. You know, he demands it. So they
you're already an honors member, right? Because you're from Torad.
Right. So the room is actually guarded by two immigration officers until the next day because they think something's fishy, but they don't know for sure, so they're going
to
hold
them. And it's important to note that they're there because they're watching the door.
Right, which is 15 stories up, a straight shot down into a busy intersection street. So if he's going to jump out a window, people are going to see him, and he's going to die.
Right.
You know? So night-night, sleep tight, you know, we'll see you in the morning. Boom. Next day, the men open the door to see what's going on, and him and everything he owned or everything he had with him was completely gone. The men saw nothing. No one saw anyone shimmying out of a window. There was no ruckus, anything like that. And the police launch a search to try to find him. Guess what? He is never found.
I didn't think the story was going that direction. I thought he'd marry a nice Japanese woman and live out his days in Okinawa.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. Teaching karate to the local indigenous people.
Eventually moving to California and finding a young child that needs direction.
First learn stand, then learn interdimensional travel.
Good Lord.
So the guy's gone. It always makes a point in saying everything that all of his possessions disappeared too, which leads me to...
Which is the damnedest thing that happens when I travel too.
When I leave a hotel room, not one possession is left. It's never overtly stated, but they say it almost to imply like they had taken his passport and it was at the commissioner's office and it disappeared.
Yeah, they didn't out and out say that, but that's the way it made it sound. I also thought this was interesting. In the police inquest, the Japanese people, they leave no stone unturned. When they were searching the hotel room, they always take a black light to everything. Said it looked like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Oh, God. Seabot, do you still have that taser?
I just wish he could feel shame.
So he'd been active on his journeys, you know, so that's fun. All right, John, let's go to break. But when we come back, what proof is there, if any, that is
lots.
Is he the only example of someone like this? Well, we already know that because we got some green kids running around and much more on Hysteria 51. Fuck, get your guns!
It'd be a quick way to get to Japan.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria today.
Nation, we are back. And Brent, I have a question for you before we move on. If you were if you were going to interdimensionally travel,
mm-hmm. I'm with you.
And it was obviously just going to be another version of Earth.
Okay.
The first thing you would do, what would it be?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is figure out where I'm at and then kill just to see what the laws are like. Because I figure that's going to make a ruckus, get some attention.
See about it. I owe you a buck. I was wrong. You went with kill. I thought you'd find the version of yourself first. I thought that would
be the think I'm going to kill? Fucking A. Like, I'm going to take their power. I saw Jet Li's The One, you know?
So we were both right.
I'm nobody's bitch. Remember that at the end? He kills everyone but one of them. Yeah.
I still want that dollar.
Not until I find out if I'm a good kisser or not, though.
Oh, that's right. We decided that's the only way, right?
I gotta kill him because ain't no way he's gonna keep that secret.
Do you think he would still own a power glove?
Oh, man. It's so bad.
You got 50,000 on Double Dragon?
You damn right I did.
And people wonder why I drink.
I saw an awesome picture someone posted. Mike Tyson was signing autographs at a Comic-Con or something, and a little boy was dressed up as Little Mac.
I posted that! Give credit where it is properly stolen from.
I didn't know that was you. That was really funny. Yeah. The boy was like 4. He had no idea.
No clue. They said, hey, Frankie, hold your arms up in the air.
No, you could tell he had a name like
Tatum or something like that. He looked like that kind of kid.
Pretty soon, names are just going to go the direction of, like, old odd farm implements. Like, hey, Rusty Nail, come over here.
Rusty Nail, that's what you went with.
Hey, Scythe.
Scythe. There, that's a little better. You know, if you keep a scythe in your house, if ghosts are after you, they're scared of it. You can use it to...
Why, because death carries one?
I guess. I don't know, but I read that somewhere this week, and now I'm forgetting where I read it at. There's a lot more to that
obviously
story.
Obviously, a reputable source.
All right, John. So, speaking of reputable sources, let's talk proof. What kind of proof is there? One would think, and I'm one, and I do think, that in this case would stand out because lots of reasons. Number one, there's going to be a lot of eyewitnesses. They're going to have reports.
Sure. I mean, everyone he interacted with.
And number two, an even bigger one, is there's going to be a paper trail of his encounter there, the talks with immigration officials, and then the investigation afterwards.
There, I mean, there has to be a form that's being filled out as they're standing there, you would think.
You go through customs, then, yeah, absolutely.
And then another form probably filled out when you detain someone.
My favorite thing to do at customs now is they always want your picture, and they have those kiosks.
Yeah.
My wife cannot figure out how to get her face into the picture, because you know how you like turn one way and it goes the other, whatever, and it's always like she'll take it, it's her eyeball, and they're just like, it's fine, don't worry about it. I'm like, oh my god.
So my wife and I like to go to various arcades and play video games every now and then, and there's always like the Cruisin' USA or what would like the updated,
newer ones, yeah.
And they take your picture before the race starts. Yep. So you can, there's a little icon next to your name. And it's the same thing, like, it counts down, but for some reason, she every time she's like looking over at me, asking a question.
Two, whoops, one.
Oh, hey, is it going to take this pic?
Yeah, right.
But there was no picture, there was no paperwork, there was no incident form. You were saying all of this stuff should exist, yeah. It doesn't.
And that would open up all sorts of questions. Or it does open up all sorts of questions.
Well, no, if we had that paperwork, it would.
Right, right. So did he disappear? Or let's say if we did have this paperwork, it's going to make you wonder, did he disappear? As in, did he go back to where he came from if this was an interdimensional thing? Was he taken? And if he was taken, was it by the Japanese government? Maybe the U.S. government, if we are, you know, I like to think we have our hands in everything. Or is this one of those early cases of the Men in Black come in and took them? Things like that. It should have all that proof that's going to lead us to all these questions. None of that's there. There is none.
Was he simply LARPing?
It's pronounced douchebagging.
But yeah, nothing. There's nothing. And that begs the next question, and which we'll start to talk about now, where the story actually came from.
Yes.
Not only where was he from, that's the bonus question, the original question.
Taran, we already told it, people at home.
Did this incident actually happen?
Johnny, get your gun. It's time to work. Sorry. Oh, my bell didn't sound right. All right, we're back.
Close call there. Almost had to shut
the show
down. We're going
to have to cancel the show for the week. John, where did this come from? Because there's a jumping off point in this one.
Much like many of the stories we talk about, you can kind of trail it back down to one origination point. And
David Flora wrote it in his diary.
He did. But before that, in 1981, a book came out called The Directory of Possibilities.
Ooh.
That was 27 years after
the
event.
Was it really a directory? Like, you just flipped, here's a possibility. You fall down. Shit!
I don't know. I'll let you know. I found an original first print of it on Amazon, and I ordered it.
Does it come with your own jump to conclusions, Matt?
obligatory Office Space reference.
Yeah, that's right.
I love how those don't go bad.
Never.
Like, how old is that? That movie came out, what, like the mid-90s?
Yeah, so I watched this thing where they wanted a red Swingline stapler, which they didn't make, so they contacted Swingline. They're like, here, make it for us, and we'll... You know, people are going to want it or whatever. And they're like, nope. So they just took a regular Swingline stapler, painted it red. That's what they used. Immediately, Swingline was inundated with calls. And so they made a red Swingline
stapler. So they actually started making it. Yeah. The point is, this is where the story originated as far as we understand it, in print.
That's why we brought that up.
Yes. In print, in this book, The Directory of Possibilities. No other documents, nothing, no official releases from the Japanese government.
Right. And this came out in
zero eyewitnesses.
This came out in 81. So if you're keeping track at home, that's 27 years after the said event occurred in 54.
It doesn't pop up again in print anywhere until 1999 in a book called Strange But True, Mysterious and Bizarre People.
Oh, man. That book, I ordered because it wasn't $40. We both looked at the same one on Amazon. So I got the blurbs and I read them, but I always try to find the books. The one you bought was expensive. If you got the 40 one, a lot of them were like $60 and that. So yeah, breaking it down. There's no official documents. There's no eyewitness reports. There's no eyewitnesses that come forward and say this happened.
Which leaves us all to the potential.
It's two books. But I want you to note the name of that second book. Strange but True. Mysterious and Bizarre People.
Well, anything that claims to be true obviously is.
And mysterious at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times the type of books that we're talking about, they'll put quotes on the front like, this really happened, in quote, underlined.
Or don't you love movies like The Fourth Kind where it's like, this is based on a true story? No, it's not. No, it's not at all. But that's a fun thing to fuck with people's heads.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because as soon as you see that, someone goes, this really happened. If I ever make a movie, no matter what it is, I'm just going to put based on actual events.
I got to be honest with you. I think it's less possible that you'll make a movie.
Oh, I've made several.
I think it's
you're just not allowed to watch them.
Oh, God. I think it's a lot more possible a movie will be made about you.
It's more of a biopic.
Let's talk about the difference between being famous and infamous, Brent.
Yeah, I think that's a whole separate episode.
So this leads us down the path that we went down with the Children of Woolpit. Could it be an urban legend?
Yes. Yeah. So it's funny. How do they spread? This is an interesting one because they said it happened in 54. It comes out in 81. And that's the time when people read these things, but there's not the internet. People tell someone, oh, I read this book about this guy, and it gets spread through magazine articles and, you know, things like that. People talk about it. And then the internet pops up in the 90s and 99. It comes out in another book. And it starts showing up on bulletin board sites and websites and urban legend spread, just like Polybius. You know, it's this word of mouth stuff.
So there's really two possibilities here, not getting into where he is from, if it happened, there's two possibilities. It really happened. And for one reason or another, the Japanese government and everyone involved didn't really want the word to spread. So they got rid of all evidence, all traces of this, and it was only an oral history.
Yeah, right now he's sitting in a jail cell next to Amelia Earhart somewhere. And he's like, son of a bee.
And there's this oral history that's passed down from person to person to person. It eventually makes its way through this game of telephone to the authors of the Directory of Possibilities, and it gets printed in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
The other possibility, the authors of the Directory of Possibilities needed a good story.
Right, right. Oh.
And they wrote one.
I don't know, though, man. If you write a book called Directory of Possibilities, I think that's in itself enough proof that you're not going to lie. So I don't really buy into that one.
That's fair. But
I believe him, yo. I don't know why, but I do.
While we ponder that, why don't we head to break? And when we come back, Brent, maybe we can talk about some other examples of multidimensional travel and see if we can tie this all together.
And how could it actually happen if it did happen? That's coming up on Hysteria 51.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill
to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You know what annoys me about eBay?
The no body part rule?
No. You're talking about like those pictures where someone, buy my tea kettle. And you can see the reflection.
Oh, no. Corey Haim, when he was alive, got kicked off for trying to sell his teeth.
Oh, like selling like body, body parts. I thought you meant the accidental reflection.
Oh, yeah. We're like, yeah, someone's like holding a mirror and the naked broad's taking the photo.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay more for this one for some reason.
Or some gross reject who lives in his mom's basement takes a picture of like, you know, a toaster. And, I didn't happen to notice that my nude body in all its glory just happens to be reflecting in that.
Does that look weird?
But that is not what annoys me about eBay.
What annoys you, John?
Just keep that voice up for the rest of the show. What annoys me about eBay is I'm not always on there, but I look on there every now and then for like
constant
I'm eBay.
Talking to my doctor about it on Thursday.
I'll look. I mentioned in Hysteria Nation, I was looking for some like old Transformers stuff like that to decorate the new studio, and I'll look through things, and there's always posts about things that are like electronics, right? Mm-hmm. And it always leads with no idea if it works.
Yeah,
haven't tested.
You gotta understand. Most parts of the country don't have power. So that is
Batteries? Yeah. What do you think? I'm a millionaire?
You know what? And it's funny. I have actually bought those things because I was looking for, like, when I was rebuilding Nintendos. A lot of times they work. Why didn't you just plug it in?
Oh,
you
really?
You got more.
My assumption is that they always don't work when they say that.
That's always mine. I was like, I'm buying this for scrap.
Like, there was one that it was a collection of, like, 6 or 7 old-timey, like, 60s, like robot toys, which I thought would be really cool. Give C-Bot some play friends. Mm-hmm. And no clue if any of these could possibly function. Okay. Well, just say they don't work. They're still cool looking.
They take 4 of those brick batteries, or not even Ds. Remember those? Like the giant flashlight batteries to go. Yeah. Yeah. Man. And you break those apart and it's 4D batteries inside there, literally.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most batteries are just a bunch of batteries inside of another.
But you know what else takes batteries?
What's that?
Little devices that allow you to travel through dimensions.
Oh, almost sliding?
Slide
on through to the other side.
I took us off course. I was trying to bring us back on. Well,
let's talk about some examples. Are there other examples, John, of people out of time, people out of space, people showing up that shouldn't be there? He's not out of time. It's in time.
If you say time, he's going to do that.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've talked about a few on this very show.
Yeah.
Just a few episodes ago, the Green Children of Woolpit, if they existed, they very well could have been interdimensional travelers.
That's a fun one because it brings up so many things of maybe they weren't interdimensional travelers. We're going to go down that road first. Maybe they were from the center of the Earth, you know, or maybe they were, like you said, they came through a wormhole or a stargate from some other place. That's a fun one because it's similar to this. It just kind of shows up in 2 writings.
And yeah.
We have
yeah.
the story.
It's weird. It's from the 1500s, and yet there's actually more
late
1100s. Or 1100s.
Yeah.
And there's more documentation about it
than this
particular story. There was, we talked about a lot of this also could be time travel, right?
Yeah.
Whenever somebody is out of place, we talked about John Titor.
Yep.
In many episodes ago.
Titor of the hill people.
Now, he said he was a time traveler, but he also said that multiple realities were possible.
That's funny. So he said that the things that you do can cause a ripple. So maybe this guy was from a ripple and they just crossed over at one point in time. Similar but different realities, whereas like in the Sliders, I remember one of the first ones where he's driving and the light turns green and everyone stops. He's like, whoa, we are dealing with a different reality here. Holy smokes. You know, and they slide on through there.
I read a really good fictional book series called The Long Earth.
# long firmament.
Not that long.
It's not round. It's not flat. It's long.
And basically they figure out how to slide between Earths and... It's really a believable series because guess what we do? we just start moving there. And
thanks for keeping the seat for us warm. It's kind of like Star Trek, where we finally get warp drive and we immediately take over the Federation of Planets.
Yes,
you know, we're going to move the capital to San Francisco's nice this side of known everything.
But so, you know, obviously that's a possibility too.
This one's a different one. And this is another one that's a fun one to try to pronounce. Jofar Vorin of Luxaria. And now some people call him Joseph Vorin. Jofar, this is in 1851 in Frankfurt in the beautiful country of Germany. He was just found wandering. This guy's just walking around, and along with speaking broken German, he spoke and wrote in an unknown language he called Luxarian and Abramian or Abramian. So that's fun. He said he was from Luxaria in an area of the globe called Sicaria, separated from Europe by a vast ocean. Neither of these places have ever existed in our reality. He said the continent of his Earth's all the continents were Sicaria, Aflar, Astar, Uslar, and Uplar. These sound like the names of the islands in the Jurassic Park movies. Isla Nublar.
Oh, I thought those actually were the names of George Foreman's kids.
That would be the continents are George, 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 and George. So Jafar, he said that his reason for visiting Europe was to locate his long-lost brother, but his last memory was becoming shipwrecked somewhere along his voyage, and there he was.
We mentioned that time travel is always a possibility, because you don't know if it's coming from another dimension or your own dimension just at a different time. Mm-hmm. Could it be from thousands of years ago before the nukes went off?
Or thousands of years in the future when we start over,
right. There was that, and I don't remember the guy's name, there was that story from around World War II. He was flying a fighter craft, saw a airfield that was in disrepair.
And so the planes were yellow and the men were wearing brown instead of the blue suits,
right,
which they should have had. I know this one. I'm forgetting his name as well. And then he finally comes out of the storm. Everything lands. And turns out in like 10 years, the planes there are yellow and they switched the suits from blue to
I think it was in it was actually at that moment it was in disrepair. Nobody was using it. And he said, no. There was people there. There were active planes, and they had blue suits. And they go, well, they wouldn't even have had blue suits if it was up and running.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have had blue suits. And then like 10 years later, all of that comes true. Right.
We got another one. Paris, 1905. A young man was arrested for stealing a loaf of bread, was found to speak an unknown language. That's kind of like the tie that binds in a lot of these. After a lengthy interrogation session, the man managed to convey that he was from a place called Lisbia. And they thought, oh, you mean Lisbon. Here's Portugal. That's where you're from. And so they bring an interpreter to speak Portuguese. And he's like, yeah, this guy doesn't speak Portuguese. I don't know what you're talking about. So they're like, oh, well, maybe he's not from Lisbon. They said it wasn't, though, that this linguist they had there, it wasn't invented babble. It had sentence structure, and they thought he was speaking a real language. It followed the rules of language. And eventually, the strange-speaking guy was released, never to be seen again.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's the other time
There's a follow-up to this story. He was actually looking for his manuscript. He mentioned it was called the Voynich manuscript.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's got a lot of trees and plants.
That's
in
a
it.
Really nerdy joke
I'm
you would
botanist.
Get if you're familiar with what the
botanist
Voynich manuscript is.
So could this happen, John? Let's pretend that all these are true.
I'm not pretending.
Wind up in a different reality. So this concept, this thought process that I like, the thought of thin places. Thin places are where
fat camps.
Yes. Where reality,
I'm going to my thin place.
Reality's thinner. Like you know, let's think of like our dimensions are in bubbles,
right?
And it's where like they come closer, and sometimes we can go through them, or it's where heaven and earth, hell and earth, places like that are closer to where you can actually move between.
Right. Like heaven isn't too far away.
Closer to it every day.
That we
get closer to the thin place. Yeah.
Right.
So think like Skinwalker Ranch. We talked about Skinwalker Ranch. All the strange happenings, the portals that open to sunny skies on the other side, and they saw these shadow beings crawling through.
One we haven't talked about on the show yet. We'll probably do an episode eventually on Stardust Ranch.
Fuck yes.
Oh yes.
There's a guy that lives that owns it now.
Ranch. I'm friends with him on Facebook.
I forget his name. And I saw him post the other day.
Goddamn portal let a snake in my kitchen.
A portal let a snake in his kitchen to kill his pet cat.
Grab the katana.
And he's like, no worries though. I took care of it with a katana. So he sliced the head off. And people are like, yeah, that was a corn snake or some other just completely non-lethal, non-harmful snake. All you really did was kill a really helpful animal
that kills rodents.
Yeah. And like, well, how was I supposed to know something?
Came through a portal. Through a portal.
I mean, it could be. And the thing is, in that other dimension, those could be evil snakes.
It's true.
You don't know that.
It did have a goatee.
So you and your science knowledge, you go... And a bad attitude.
Yeah.
It played by its own rules.
It had a switchblade. I don't know how it was holding it, but it had one.
And he's constantly getting yelled at by his snake commissioner.
Damn, you blew up half a city block.
This is coming out of your play, Snakinski. I'm sick of your attitude. So, but seriously, though, these places, these thin places, could the fabric be thinner and ripples and things bring us in from the other side? And what is the other side? That's the other thing we need to talk about. Is it dimensions? Is it the afterlife? Is it just wormholes to other places in our own reality?
Jokes aside, I do find the idea of multiple dimensions entirely fascinating, and also
and science finds it entirely
really
plausible.
Yeah. I don't know. Probable, is it probable or plausible?
They're okay. Plausible for a long time. Probable now is where it's heading towards.
The concept that something could slip through or come through somehow, some way, doesn't seem that outlandish to me.
Why is it always evil, though? Why can't it just be like, oh, shit, man, I am Gary. I'm a trash man from another dimension, and I went to pick up a trash can and I fell here in Walla Walla, Washington. You know, why is it never that? Why is it always like, we're coming for your daughter, Chuck? That kind of shit, you know?
Because those are the stories that spread. When you sit down for dinner and you could have sworn that your wife said she was making chicken and she brings out steak or something like that, you could have slipped into another dimension where the only thing that was different was what you had for dinner that night.
That's true, and you don't even realize
it. You're not going to go,
traded places.
Can you peep? We're not going to do an episode the night Brent had steak instead of chicken. You know, like nobody's talking about that story.
Or if it was at the Joe Four South, the night Stacy had to buy new makeup to cover up the bruises.
What are you implying there? What's happening?
She falls a lot. She falls a lot. That's all I'm saying.
You know, you're going to make me cry because the reality is that
she's going to beat you.
That I do find some extra bruising on my face and or torso. But don't accuse Stacy. Stop accusing Stacy of beating
me. And around my torso.
I understand that we're in the age of the internet and it doesn't make sense that we've got 6 phone books sitting around the house.
But you bring up an interesting point.
I got you there.
Talking about that though. Could we somehow traverse space and time unknowingly? You know, and like you said, you don't even realize you've went through, but maybe sometimes it's a larger difference.
Well, if it's a hole in the universe that goes to a different place, it might not even be us like going through it, as in you step through something here on Earth. It could be the planet circling around the sun, and we just hit a place in space
right. That
has that little hole.
Maybe that Nexus from Star Trek.
Yeah, and it's got to be, you know, circular, as in the other person comes through here also, or it would not make any
yeah,
sense.
Because in my example from earlier, if both you and Brent, too, are sitting down, and one's eating steak and one's eating
chicken.
Guys,
I slaved all day over this meal, and all you're doing is making out. Stop it.
Serious question. What the fuck?
Mind your own business, devil woman.
We're trying to figure something out really important here. Oh, gosh. So the man from Torred, going back to the original, do you think it actually happened?
No, I don't. I believe that this was just written for a book and then picked up by another book. I do believe in multiple dimensions. I do believe that there are things like that. And we know that wormholes scientifically exist. Could something happen? I don't know if it's so small that you walk through and you're in another place. It would be
it would kind of explain a lot of crazies that are just like, I am telling the fucking truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, you never know. But no, this story I don't believe. And I don't believe it because there's no paper trail, no nothing. It just showed up in a book and then showed up in another book. And then it spread like an urban legend. This is a big enough thing that would have happened that at least they should have kept paperwork and paper trail for it.
Yeah. You know, stories from the 6th century. When you hear that something popped up and then it wasn't talked about again for 200 years, doesn't sound that weird. There weren't a ton of people that had the ability to read. Certainly even fewer could write. So that doesn't seem weird. When you tell me it's the 20th century and no one talks about it for 27 years or whatever it was.
That's the statute of limitations on immigration laws in Japan.
We were holding out. That seems weirder to me. So yeah, I'm in your camp here. I don't know that I believe in this story. I don't think I do, in fact. But I 100% think that there's, well, I guess I can't say 100%. I think there's a distinct possibility of there being multiple dimensions.
Yeah.
And that some of the weird stuff throughout history has been caused by something like
that. I could see Skinwalker Ranch being a thin place a lot more than I can see the Stardust Ranch being a thin place. Just because the lack of katanas.
And
really does
and Richard Simmons. I mean, it's a thin place.
And one and two and sweat to these oldies.
Well, on that note, Nation, what do you think? Are we idiots?
Yeah.
Well, of course we are. But are we idiots as it comes? As it comes to this topic,
start over.
We're interested in what you think about the man from Tored, but what do you think about just interdimensional travel? Do you think there's other dimensions? Is that the explanation for cryptids? You know, you can take interdimensional travel a lot of different directions.
Interdimensional being,
right?
Yeah,
right, right, right.
Say that are aliens just, you know, crossing over, and not the crossing over with John Edwards, but crossing over. Yeah.
And you know how you can tell us that? You can go to Facebook. Search for Hysteria Nation. That's our
right.
Facebook discussion group, Brent.
That's also, you can go to facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's just a regular page on there. Tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You get extra episodes. You can get up all night. You can get radio dramas. You can smell John,
you can't. That is not true. You're lying to these people. However,
like the cut of your jib.
However, you can listen to me break it down.
Oh my God! So a friend of ours, Matt Galina, sends me an email. He goes, "I'm giving this to you. Do with it as you will." Do you guys remember in like the 90s when you went to Six Flags? They had those booths where you could sing, and then you could actually make videos for it. And they had like a green screen or blue screen behind you. We have John singing Regulate by
it's not
Nate
a video.
Dogg and
we,
Warren G.
We only did the audio, right? And I gotta say, I was pretty damn bad.
Nate Dogg and John Gopher going to Regulate.
No. It was
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good too.
It was at the very end. Nate Dogg and me, the Goforth to the G.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Yeah, you're jealous. I know. It's okay.
If you want to hear yourself on the show, like you can hear John on Patreon, 773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277. And 1 second here, we are going to play some voicemail.
Hey, guys. I was listening to the episode today and, you know, enjoying what I was hearing, as usual. And I'm finishing up work and I stop and I felt the need to buy a scratch-off ticket, so I did, and it turns out, as luck would have it, I just won a couple bucks. $30 to be exact.
Ooh.
John, I want to sniff you.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
I like it.
You've like created a monster here, Brent.
No, John, you're just sniffable.
Not scratch and sniff, for the right. record.
Let's do one more.
Well, hey, guys. What's up? I'm just calling. This is my name's Dylan. I'm a big bothead, man. I just Ooh. Finished my fourth bottle of bot juice. I got to tell you, C-Bot, you're the man.
Of course.
I love you, man. I worship you. And keep doing what you're doing. John, Brent, fuck off, guys. You guys need to be nicer to my leader. I'm going to get back to the bot juice.
Robot. You can't fault a meat sack for having good tastes.
I wish that the listeners wouldn't encourage him.
So if you want to hear yourselves again, 773-669-7277.
One other thing we haven't talked about in a while. We'd love for you to give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
5 stars would be the best. People get so angry when we ask for that. But hey, if you don't ask, you don't get. But tell us what you think about us, what you think about the show. And we're going to read a few here. First, let's start with a nice one. Simply the best. Hey, guys, I'm a long-haul truck driver. Oh, by the way, Mr. Medic 665. Hey, guys, I'm a long-haul truck driver out of Chicago and have a crap load of time on my hands. I found this podcast by accident and instantly became hooked. The shows are well thought out, and everyone has been an instant hit with me. Very entertaining. I've started listening to the episodes starting at the beginning and have not found one crap episode yet. Oh, man. I found a few, but the guys and their guests all accent themselves perfectly. The show stealer naturally is, of course, C-Bot.
That's a given.
I don't care what anyone says. A bot with homicidal tendencies is still the funniest fucking thing ever.
Damn straight.
Please keep up the good work. Thanks, guys. Wesley B. Thanks, Wesley.
Wesley B.
Oh, here's a good. This is a 4-star review.
Oh,
okay. And the title is and it is by Fluffy Fart.
All mine are.
I enjoy this podcast, listen every week. This is all one sentence. I enjoy this podcast, listen every week, but I disagree with them on certain things, so 4-star. And then a little walking man emoji.
I didn't know my wife had an Apple Podcast account.
No, she would have said disagreed on everything. Okay. From F. Maggio, 1984. Love you guys. C-Bot touched me. That's all.
That makes sense, actually. What are we talking about, dude?
That I do what I want.
let me give you one more here. I don't know what happened. 1-star by the Dobot.
The Dobots.
This used to be one of the best podcasts out there. Well, thank you. We'll take that. But now it's full of inside jokes, pointless guests, and constant references to their new parent network.
Oh.
I would like to offer a few things. First, before I move on with the rest of this review. We have always been full of inside jokes and pointless guests. Yeah, thank you very much.
In the beginning, I think they have actually waned as we went on.
Constant references to our new parent network. I don't know that. I mean, I guess we have commercials.
Ads,
yeah,
ads for them,
but
probably
we haven't added ads. We've always run the same amount. Mm. So I don't know. If you want to listen to the first episodes, because unfortunately the new episodes are pure trash and pointless advertising. Went from 5 stars to 1 frowny face. Well, the Dobot. We hope you're still listening. Maybe we can bring you back into the fold. There is one more review here from someone who's back in the fold or who maybe never left. It's titled Chuckleheads and an Awesome Robot by BadWolf122. He simply lets us know that Brent is an ugly pigeon. Guys, thanks so much for the reviews. Even to you, the Dobot, we still want your feedback. We appreciate it.
We sure do. So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a 4th Hand Join.